Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Earlier this week, Harvard announced that it would be offering all of its fall classes online, with surging coronavirus cases making in-person classes complicated, to say the least. But Harvard has the luxury of a $40 billion endowment and extensive political connections. The university could feel safe making that move. But other smaller, poorer colleges serving lower-income students will not have that luxury. Tressie McMillan Cottom is a sociologist at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. She's also a senior research professor at the Center for Information, Technology, and Public Life at UNC. Professor, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
You know, I was watching you last night on a news channel, and I thought you made so much sense, probably more than anybody I've heard.
As few people on news channels do.
I know. But you made a ton of sense about the disparity involved here and the dilemma that smaller colleges that don't have the luxury of having a name like Harvard or maybe Princeton and the pressures they're going to feel. So can you expand on that?
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for that. I endeavor to be the person who doesn't sound like every other person on the news channel. So thank you. listen, we spend a lot of our attention budget on places like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the like, and sometimes for good reason. But in this moment, I think our takeaway from Harvard's decision to move to online in the fall is not really about Harvard. It is about who can afford to put their students' well-being ahead of tuition revenue. And now the reality is that there is a vast amount of inequality between institutions, as you pointed out. The institutions that actually transform people's lives, that actually make the economic engine of our public life go, are actually not those elite, mostly private schools. They're the public schools. You know, they're the minority-serving institutions, the community colleges, for goodness sake. Those institutions don't have the kind of wealth and political capital to put their students' health and well-being ahead of tuition revenue. And that's not entirely their fault. You know, for the past 30 years, the push from political leaders, from the public, has been for colleges to operate more like businesses. Right, to raise money directly from tuition-paying students and families in lieu of getting money from state budgets and appropriations. In this crisis, what that means, though, is that whatever the students want, right, those institutions that need that tuition revenue are obligated to give the students what they want. And sometimes what the students want are at odds with what's good for public health. We need everyone to stay home, to self-isolate, right? We need to be really cautious about reopening. But when you need the tuition dollars because the state doesn't fund you the way it once did, then you're more likely to make decisions that aren't always best for student health and well-being.
Yeah, and we know what the state budgets are going to look like after this anyways, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we don't know that all that funding is coming. So they're just under that much more pressure to do all this. And then maybe even if I'm an independent school, but I'm still operating like a small to medium sized business, I'm still under the same pressure too, right? Because I've got to make some money in this and bring you all back to campus because that's what you expect me to do.
That's exactly right. That is what the students expect them to do. And it's what things like boards of trustees, donors, the business class who donate to universities, that's what they expect to have happen. So there are a lot of incentives on the institutions who are sort of living and dying based on consumer demand and consumer preferences, when right now what we really need is a more collective response. That's what the sort of public health crisis necessitates. And if you need the tuition revenue just to get from semester to semester, by the way, there are a lot of institutions that would like to be able to make different decisions come fall, but if they don't have a fall semester, they may not exist in the spring. So, and that's the reality.
So if you were, think back to the days when you were a student. If you were a student now, and you're faced with an interesting dilemma come fall. I mean, your college, is going to have classes, not online, but there, and you're kind of thinking, well, I don't know. It sounds kind of dangerous to sit there in a classroom. What should I do? Mm-hmm. If you were that student, what would you do?
Oh, that is a tough question. And I wish that we had more and better guidance, both from public health officials and government and leadership. As the student, as someone who has family members, by the way, who are students, and we're having these conversations in our home just like other people are, I am saying colleges will exist in some form or fashion next year or in 5 years. But if your health is gone, you may not be able to take advantage of going to college. We have chosen for those of us, for those students in my family, we have chosen for them to go online where they can. If they had not been able to go online, we were thinking very seriously about them sitting the year out and doing some other educational experience. But here's the thing. We can kind of, you know, we have the benefit of making some of those choices. For some students, if they sit out a year, they may not be able to come back. And for that student, I say going online is probably the best option. If you have to do a sort of staggered return to school, to do so, but weigh that against your responsibilities to your family members, to yourself, and your own individual health.
Tressie McMillan-Cotton, sociologist at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Thanks so much.